to change it up and hear from some of the students, I want to welcome Noah this morning.
Yeah, I am rolling up on 1 year at Remembrance here at the end of this month, which is just absolutely crazy to think about. But I'm very grateful. Kind of like Eli said earlier, I had, back in May, Eric sent me an email and said, pick a psalm. We're doing a sermon series this summer. It's going to be in the Psalms. Pick a psalm. And I picked Psalm 34. And I have to confess, if you know me, if you've heard me preach here in this context before, I am a Bible nerd. One of my favorite things to do is look at how something is written and find even deeper meaning than what may just be on the surface. I picked Psalm 34 because each successive line of Psalm 34 begins with the Hebrew alphabet letters ordered all the way through, Aleph to Tov. And it's beautiful. And I was going to talk about the sufficiency of Christ and how worthy of praise he is. I was, until last month, I spent 2 weeks with 31 of our students in both Sleeping Bear Dunes and the Smoky Mountains. And the meaning of what I wanted to say just shifted entirely. I wanted desperately to throw away my sermon. So I did, and I came back, and I told Eric some of the stories, and I asked, can I just talk about that instead? Can I just talk about our students instead? And he said yes. So here we are. But we're still in Psalm 34, so I would invite you to read it with me. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And I read this every day on both of these trips, middle school, high school, and it took on new meaning for me. And I want to share that with you this morning. And I want to open with a liturgy from a book called Every Moment Holy. This is something that we used every morning, I think, on our high school trip. As we were gathering for breakfast and packing lunches, morning devotions came out of this book. And if you've never heard of it, I'm not a paid shill for this guy, but man, this is a great book. It's got a liturgy for things like the hurried preparation of a meal, or the changing of diapers, or for those who sleep in tents. And we read many of those, but I want to begin this morning by inviting you into a liturgy of praise, of gratitude, to begin a purposeful gathering. This is Jonah. Jonah's going to help me read the liturgy for a purposeful gathering. And so we are gathered here, uniquely in all of history, we particular people, in this singular time and place.
Accomplish your purposes among us, O God.
Tune our hearts to the voice of your Spirit.
Wake us to be present to you and to one another in these shared hours we are given.
For it is you, O Lord, who have so gathered us from our various places.
And you alone who know our hearts and our needs.
Among us are some who arrive anxious, some who are lonely, some who suffer pain or sorrow.
May we in our joys find grace to enter the sorrows of others.
Among us are some who arrive rejoicing, hearts made light by good news, good health, or glad anticipation.
May we in our sorrows find grace to embrace the joys of others.
Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us and our relationships to one another are precious and fleeting.
Amen.
Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us and our relationships to each other are precious and eternal.
Amen.
Breathe upon our gathering, O Spirit of God. Grant us each a place to humbly receive and to faithfully serve, that we might know in this brief gathering a foretaste of that greater communion that is yet to come.
O Father, enlarge our hearts.
O Spirit, expand our vision.
O Christ, establish your kingdom among us.
Be at work even now, O Lord. May your will in us, in these hours, be accomplished.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jonah. I appreciate you.
We're doing this together.
We're doing it together. Yep. So, this is important that you know this. This is Jonah. Jonah is the Cran Hill guide who got to come with us, one of many. This is our church. And I could tell this story all by myself. The Spirit is good, friends. God is good. It is better that we tell it together. And as I was on these trips, I was reading a book by Henry Nouwen, and you know me and Henry Nouwen. I'm deeply in love with his work. He wrote a book called In the Name of Jesus, and one of the things that was said to Henry Nouwen by a man who lived with a disability, as he was asked to go and preach at a conference about what Christian leadership will look like in the next century, was, "We're doing this together." And Henry took that man, and together they went, and together they preached the word of the Lord. And it is so good that Jonah is here with me this morning. I think spiritual formation trips are relatively new to Remembrance Church. I'm not sure that we've ever done one of these before or that we've ever made use of the beautiful program that is Christian Ventures before. But man, we have a lot of things that I want to just give to you to celebrate with me. I want to tell you the story of what we did and how God moved. So this is our group of middle schoolers. We left at 10 a.m., which is a reasonable time to like get on a bus and drive for a couple hours. There's 15 of them, and I had some leaders who are casually hiding behind students there with me. We plopped them off a bus on a Monday morning, and we made them climb this enormous dune that you can see on the top left there. And the way that a typical day flows is we get up, we get out of our tents, and we pack our breakfast, we fill our water bottles, we pack our backpacks, and we go, we do an activity. And they don't have their phones. And I try really hard to just keep mine on silent. But we engage slowly, meaningfully in creation. That takes as long as it needs to. We eat lunch while we're out there hiking, and it's beautiful. So the middle schoolers got to climb a dune. We went biking on the second day. The third day, we hiked Alligator Hill. There's this, I don't know that I even have a good picture of it. The very last day we were there, there was this dune that we were able to climb down and then up. And you looked, there was a sign at the top that said, "It's $2,000 if you can't get yourself back up this hill to get rescued." And I watched as I was middle of the pack of these middle schoolers as immediately three children bombed clean off the face of the earth. And I thought, this is spectacular. It was beautiful, though, in watching them help each other to climb this dune, to be in community, even as middle school students. Every night we would gather around a campfire and we would do something that I call God sightings, which is just an encouragement for students to share, where did you see God today? And some of the things that were brought in that time were beautiful. I got to learn a little bit more about our middle schoolers, and the spiritual depth of that trip was good, but high school was unbelievable. It was spectacular, and I couldn't be more proud of my students. And when I think about what it looks like to taste and see that the Lord is good, I want you to look at our students. These are the high schoolers that I got to spend a whole week with in the Smoky Mountains. And Matthew, bless sweet Matthew. You'll meet a few of them in a moment because I don't want to be the only one to share up here. But I do kind of want to summarize what we got to do just so you have an idea of how this is all contextualized. We arrived late at night after 12 hours of driving. I think this is the morning. We look too plucky for that to be an evening photo. But when we arrived, ate dinner, pitched tents, slept there. For some, very first time they'd ever slept in a tent. And I thought, oh no, this is not going to be a great time. But the attitudes were so positive. We woke up the next morning, and we surprised them. We always do the hardest thing first. And Looking Glass Rock is this enormous 3.2-mile hike with like 1,400 feet of elevation gain. And that was enough to exhaust every single one of us physically. But something beautiful happens when you take all of these students, take their phones away, and then physically exhaust them. You see the best and the worst of them and their character, and the ways that they interact with one another are truly beautiful. So we made this giant hike, and we got to the top, and this is the view that we had. It doesn't even do it justice. Pictures can't possibly. But that was day one. Day two, we had the opportunity to go. That's actually Tuesday. I need to go back. Tuesday evening, we swam in Davidson River. And on our way back from swimming, we met two men, Jerry and Lyndon. And they were sitting, the Davidson River campground has this tiny Methodist chapel there. And these two old men were sitting there with water bottles and candy. And we talked with Jerry and Lyndon. And we heard about their stories and the faith that they had. And I made some offhand comment, like, I wouldn't mind working in a church like this. You'll see a picture of it in just a little while. And Jerry, with the utmost assurance and in the most beautiful way, said, you could come here, you know, in a few years, I'm going to heaven. And I was like, oh my gosh, Jerry, you like, that's such a dark thing to say. But he said it with pure joy, and he was so confident. And I was like, man, I want to grow up to be like Jerry. Lyndon was great, too, but he was just there for comic relief, really. So Tuesday night, we went swimming. Wednesday, we wake up, and we split into two groups because we could climb, but we had to climb in two groups. And while one group was climbing, the other went to a waterfall. And throughout the day, especially with high schoolers, I would invite them to pack their Bibles, along with their water bottle, along with their lunch. The thing that they would bring with them was their Bible, and we would have TAWG, T-A-W-G, time alone with God. And I would just say, hey, it's time for TAWG. And I would watch 16 high school students just explode all over wherever we were, and they would go, and they would sit by themselves. And I don't think that there was a day that there was less than half an hour of that time where our students sat in Scripture by themselves with their Lord. And it is so powerful as a youth pastor to sit and look out over this group of students and see them tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Climbing is really cool too, and so are waterfalls. So in that respect, we were also tasting and seeing in creation. We're cheap and we're Dutch, so it turns out there's this attraction you can go to called Sliding Rock, and it's $5 a person unless you go after 6 p.m. So we went after 6 p.m. And the first day we were there, we parked, and the wrong spot. It was like not the intended way to get there, so we like climbed down a tree that had fallen and made our way towards it. But the joy, Matthew is there leading the charge on the bottom right of every single dude on this trip as they are trying to go down together. To Lake Julia. And it was a beautiful hike. Tanner, wherever you are, bless you, my child, he asked me the day before the trip, can I bring a fishing rod? And I thought, well, you know, probably we're not going to have oodles of time for fishing. But I won't stop you. On the way down, he bought a fishing license, and he caught over 5 fish while we were there, so go figure. On Lake Julia, that's Cole with a butterfly on him. One of the most meaningful moments on the trip for me, and this is just a testimony, it's a selfish one, is while we were at the lake, we did time alone with God. And it feels almost sacrilegious to take photos of, if that sounds, you know, it feels weird to take photos of it. But selfishly, I wanted to remember. Our kids love Jesus, guys. That is really, really good news. Our students engage in all of the things that we want to be about as a church. And I know that some people worry about the next generation. One of my favorite things to say is that these students aren't the future of the church. They are the church right now, and this is them engaging in it. They are strong in their faith. Taste and see that the Lord is good. On Thursday, we also went to Bridal Falls. And it's always the dudes, and Matthew's always in the middle. He was a youth pastor, and he got to go on this trip without being the person in charge of making sure that I don't hurt other people's children, right? Can't let them do anything too unsafe. Matthew was a good yin to that yang, and they had lots of fun together. But when you look at these photos, I can't help but imagine if you had nothing. There was no phone call, no book, no television, no radio, no entertainment, and you're in this place. It's a place of worship. Spiritual formation, then, is not just time alone with God or God sightings around a campfire. Kind of like Leah said, identity is something that we focus on fairly heavily as a church. And on Thursday night, I read Henry Nouwen to them, because why would I not read Henry Nouwen? And he wrote The Life of the Beloved, and it talks about blessing and what it means to bless one another. And these students sat in a circle, and they involved our Cran Hill leaders. They became like brothers and sisters to us. It was truly a gift, miraculous almost, how well we bonded. And we sat in that circle, and Fiona and I, you'll meet her in a moment, we had written names on paper. So the name of every person there, you are, dot, dot, dot. And the very first thing under that line was God's beloved son or daughter. And after reading this chapter about blessing by Henry Nouwen, I invited those students to just take their paper and pass it to the left. And at the end of this, every one of our students who had been sharing throughout the week, and I'll get there too, had the opportunity to look at truths that were spoken to and about them by a community that had just seen them in their physical worst and emotional worst and physical best and emotional best. It's a really precious thing to be a part of. On our last day there, then, we went to a triple waterfall kind of a deal. There's three separate spots you can see waterfalls on a very short hike. Every one of them was gorgeous. We swam at the last one. It was beautiful. But the most moving part of the entire trip actually happened Friday night. And I would love to tell you about it, but I would love more to have some of the people who were there with me tell you about it. So I want to invite up the humans who have agreed to come and do this to just share. I have three questions that I'm going to ask them. We'll move here so you can see us a little bit better. So this is Jonah, Cran Hill Adventures man, my sidekick throughout the entire trip. Fiona Borman, who is the high school volunteer coordinator this year and has been serving since I've been here in our high school ministries. Maddie, who has, hopefully you know Maddie Mersman. She grew up in this church. Ava Paskowitz, same deal. And Alexa Ruster, another college lady who's been volunteering with me in our high school ministries. And I just wanted to give them the opportunity to share, because you might think I'm biased as the next gen guy, but it was too beautiful to not have them say in their own words what they experienced. So the first question I asked them was, what was your favorite part of the trip? This could be fun, serious, spiritual, or otherwise. Take it away, Fee.
For me, I think my favorite part was the affirmation circle that Noah was mentioning earlier, and he talked about it briefly, but the time that we had preparing for it while the rest of the group was at Sliding Rock was so special. We had the opportunity to pray over each student, and man, what a sacred and special moment that is to pray over people you love with somebody you also love.
My favorite moment was the first day, the first hike. We were all so tired at the end. We had one girl lead us down the hill at a very slow pace, and we were all just kind of a big group together.
I think my favorite part was probably day two, the waterfall rock climbing day. The waterfall there was a big moment for all of us. at the end of the day when we were sharing God moments, everybody's was at that waterfall during time alone with God, and just how big God's presence was there and how connected we all felt up at that waterfall.
My favorite part was seeing the community that these kids formed over the last year. It was so incredible to watch them continue in community this week, and it was amazing.
Jonah, do you want to jump in on that?
I gotta say my favorite part, first being adopted by your children was incredible. But also our sunset here at the end was by far the best part, a perfect close to everything that we'd been going through.
The second question I prepped them was just the same question we answered every single night around the campfire, which is, where did you see God? And there's so many possible answers, but I've heard none of them. So this is where the Spirit's working.
I saw God in the people. First of all, we were in this incredible place, but I'd also been there the week before, so it wasn't quite as amazing. All the people, though, you topped the previous group by a lot. Congratulations for raising such incredible children. Yeah, that's incredible.
I would also have to say the people. I wouldn't be a good youth leader if I didn't say my children, so I definitely saw it in them, particularly in the way that they listened to what the Spirit was saying to them, to what we had to say to them. They were so captivated by the words we were speaking in the various conversations on the most random topics that we had throughout the week, just seeing the way that they were so intently listening and so captivated by what we were saying.
How I saw God was through the nature, each and every part. At one point, I was really obsessed with purple flowers, at one point, I just picked up a bundle of them, and they were all the same but very different, and I thought that was amazing.
I saw God a lot on our hikes. We had a lot of different levels of activity between all of us. Some of us were super fast, some of us were super slow, but we had this kind of system almost where the people who were faster would kind of run halfway up the mountain, and then they would wait for those of us who were at the back of the line. And anytime we were close to the end of our hike where there was a beautiful waterfall or sliding rock and the beautiful view, the group completely waited so that we could all turn that corner together. And it was just nice to see the community there and how thoughtful everybody was, and it kind of showed how God was working through all of us.
I saw God through our campfire times, through the affirmation circle that we were able to do. It was so cool just to have people write on each of these students' papers who had known them for their entire lives or for 3 days. So that was really awesome. And then our senior send-off was really incredible. And Noah read a book called Oak Inside of the Acorn, which was about an acorn growing up to be a mighty oak that held a child for many years who grew up and eventually left. And that was really awesome.
And finally, is there one lesson or thing that you took away from this trip that you think we would benefit from hearing? If you want to go last, that's fair, because I didn't prep you for it.
This is something that I think is important to task the entire congregation with, and Noah mentioned it earlier, and he told us on the trip as well, these students are not the future of the church. They are the church right now, and it's really important that we treat them as such, because we have a lot to learn from them.
I would say even amidst our busy lives, be still and just be, don't do anything.
I would say kind of lose the structure almost would be my advice, because time alone with God up on the trip wasn't super structured. It was do what you need to do. You can read your Bible, just pray, take a moment to look at God's creation in nature. So I would say just kind of take a step out of your normal routine to really appreciate how God is working in your life and through you in other people's lives.
there were so many things I could say about this trip, but kind of like Fiona said, just I learned so much from these kids and the amazing people that they are, and it was incredible, so I would encourage all of you to learn from all of them as well.
Thanks, guys. Give them a hand, congregation. Oh, I skipped Jonah. That's my bad.
What was the question?
One lesson or takeaway that you would want to share?
Make God the center of everything you do. Just fall in love with Him. Is the only, like, in all of this trip, this adventure, the whole story and experience that God was giving us was that He loved us. And I saw on this trip people who really loved Him back. And I want more of that. Like seek that. Seek people who are really, truly in love with Jesus. And then seek to follow them and be like them in loving Jesus. Because there's nothing greater. His love is better than life, right?
Amen. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I have some selfish celebrations, too. We have a student who's decided to pursue baptism as a result of this trip. The moments of knowing and being known and vulnerability were places that I saw God. I saw God in the way that our students encouraged one another and supported one another, even in the midst of things like injury or exhaustion, the love that they have for each other. The sunset, can you advance the slide? I closed out a remote and I don't know how to work an Apple device, so that's on me. It was the very last night we were there, and we had sent our seniors. We do that with, like Fiona said, a book. And after we'd read that book, one of the things that I kind of just offhandedly mentioned was I was sad that we hadn't had the opportunity to watch a sunset. There's not a really great place when you're in the forest to go. Like Lake Michigan is it. Lake Michigan sunsets are pristine, and they are places where I routinely see God. So I openly said, there's this fantastic liturgy for sunsets, and I'm just bummed that we haven't had a chance to use it. And Maddie, like, launched herself out of her camp chair and was like, well, let's go to the field to watch the sunset. And everybody else followed. And I'm going to pull up Psalm 34 again, because this is important. Keep this part of Psalm 34 in your mind as I tell this story. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. I'd been reading that in my time alone with God as we all collectively moved to this field where we could see the sunset better. And someone, when we got to the field, I genuinely can't remember who, suggested that we continue walking down a trail to where that English Methodist chapel was. And so we did. And as we were walking along that trail, there was a deer in the woods, just like there, chilling. And I was still in like youth pastor mode. And I even feel awkward telling this story. Sometimes when you try and describe divine action to people, I worry that it's gonna sound like ooga booga Holy Spirit to you. But I can't stress enough how I seemed to be on the surface of my existence. I was just being a youth pastor. And there was this successive step down that God took me through. The first thing being the students moving to the field. The second thing being that deer. And then we got to the field, we got to the chapel. And you can see the students that are walking there, but then they just stood together in front of this little concrete porch. And I began to read the liturgy for sunsets. And one of the things that you're supposed to do, that this book encourages you to do, before you read the liturgy, is prepare like a hymn or a psalm, and there's all of this preparatory work, and I had done none of it. So I just read the part that you're not supposed to read out loud. I read, "The celestial event you are preparing to observe will be unique in all of history. a combination of form and color and light that will never again be repeated. Prepare in your hearts in this quiet place to receive it as an expression of God's grace. And as we were reading those words, the sunset went from like dusk to this crazy golden sepia glow. And we could make that about refraction or clouds moving, but it was one of the most sacred and beautiful and tangible movements of God, that divine action in the world that I have ever lived through. I still get goosebumps when I talk about it. And for me, in my role here at this church, this is ministry. I was tasting and seeing that the Lord was good, and my children, their faces were radiant. One last thing I want to share. I remember so vividly the very first night that I got here. It's hard when you don't know the culture of a church to come in and try to be an effective youth pastor. So I went downstairs, and I went, well, this is big, and the floor is hollow, and there's this garage room that nobody uses, so it looks kind of cool in there. I guess I'm going to meet the high school students in here. And I opened up the garage door, and I went, and I sat in that room, and I met for the first time our high school students. And I wanted to say so many things, but I remember saying, I am really excited for the day when I can sit in a room like this and look around and know your name and know your family and the things that you're celebrating and the things that you're mourning and ways that I can support and encourage you. And as I was standing on the deck of this chapel looking at the backs of all of our students' heads, I was just overwhelmed with the realization that I know them now. That was an answered prayer, and I saw that the Lord was good. If there's anything that I want you to take away from this story, it's that you can be a part of this. It's not just a high school thing. I think this can be a Remembrance Church thing. I think the intentionality that we called these students to, the bar that they rose to, is not something that is out of our reach. Though if you want to come and be a part of the high school variety, feel free. I'm not looking for people to join a program or check a box, or do something to feel like they're morally good. Our students love the Lord, friends. Praise God for that. Taste and see that He is good, if for no other reason than through the lens of their experience on this trip. I am overwhelmed with pride. I am so confident that this next generation will steward the church well, but more than that, I am struck with gratitude, not only for my position and the opportunity that I get to speak to these kids and live life alongside of them, but for their faith and what they teach me. I'd like to invite the team up now. If you've been moved and you want to actually be a part of a community like this, there's not an age restriction on youth ministry. I'm fully serious. Like Leah said, we're always looking for people who want to be a part of a community. And like Fee said, these students have taught me more than I have taught them, and I'm grateful. They truly know what it means to live with gratitude. And sometimes I'm afraid we live our lives without taking time to truly stop and celebrate moments like this in a corporate church. So take time today, even. Like Eli encouraged, slow down. Reflect on the gifts that you have been given, on God's provision, even the small things, right? I was thanking God for a shower that didn't require you to push a button over and over again when we came back. I could thank God for a shower that turns on with a knob any day. Reflect on His provision, and then live in the midst of His gratitude. Let His praise be continually in your mouth, today, this week, and always. Amen? Let's pray. Holy Father, Son, and Spirit, thank You for Your presence here today. We are overwhelmed by Your goodness. Thank You for spaces where the space between heaven and earth is thin, for students who love You, for clear signs of Your movement and action in this world, and for a congregation that supports us. As we look forward to a new season of ministry this fall, we eagerly anticipate more stories like these. Continue the good work that you have started, O Lord, and keep us on our knees in exaltation. We love you. Amen.
All my words fall short, and I got nothing new. And how could I express all my gratitude? And I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. And so I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs, so get up and praise the Lord. Sing it out, come on, my soul. Oh,
come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you.
great service, right, to just offer praise to our God. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Son. We praise you, Holy Spirit. God loves the praise of his people. And so I want to encourage you this week, keep on doing that. Whether it's going off into the wilderness or by the lake, praise God. See God everywhere. He's everywhere. Notice him all around you. I want to thank Noah and the students and the team for sharing just a part of their adventure this summer and encouraging us in how he meets us in all of those ways. As we leave the room, I want to invite you. The prayer team is here. Nancy and John would love to pray for you. Count it a privilege to do that. As you leave, again, part of our worship is our offering as we continue in our mission. So we have offering buckets in the back you can give online. Thank you for how you give to the mission of the church. Again, if you are a guest with us, welcome. We're certainly glad you've been a part of us. God's blessing to you as you continue your Sabbath day.